Well, good morning. I'm Josh. I'm one of the pastors here at Scent Church, and today I am joined by the beardless Mark, as Pastor Dan is busy vacationing with his family in a much-needed time of rest, and pray they are having a wonderful time. Today, we are going to be in Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. To our guests, thank you for spending your Sunday with us. We are honored that you would take time to do that. If you get a moment during the service, please take time to fill out the Red Connect card. You'll see Jill in the back at our Welcome Center. We want to put a gift in your hand showing our gratitude for you being here with us. So right now, at this very moment in time, there are literally millions of people right here in America doing the same exact things that we are. They went to church. In fact, worldwide, there are billions of people who would join us together in what we're doing right now, in worshiping God. But the question we're going to hope to answer today is why? Why do we do this? Like, why did you come here this morning? Why do we give up our time to meet together, to come together, to worship, to pray, to study? Why do we do this? To sum it up, why is it important to be committed to a local body, a local church? So hopefully by now you are in Ephesians 4, and I'm going to start reading. And he, and that he right there is referring to Jesus, he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way, into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and held together by every joint with which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Father God, as we go through this today, I ask and I pray, Father, that we get out of the way, that your Spirit be the only voice that we hear, that we are guided, Father, through your scripture, that we are edified, equipped, encouraged, and empowered to go do your mission. Father God, we just ask and pray that we do this in your wisdom and discernment. In Jesus' name, amen. So, the million-dollar question is, what is church? And before we ever have a discussion about anything like we've done in the entire series, we have to define what we're talking about. We can't all be on different wavelengths with everything. Sometimes. But the big thing is let's go ahead, and there's one myth I'm going to dispel right here out the gate. Church is not a man-made institution. Okay? Like, church, as in Matthew 16, which is the first time we see the word church in Scripture, Jesus is talking with his disciples, and he's going, hey, who do people say I am? And they go through, oh, they think you're a prophet. They think you're Elijah. They think you're this. And then Peter goes, you're the Son of God. And Jesus with that goes, that's right. And it is not in the flesh that you said this, but by the Spirit of God. And upon this rock, I will build my church. Now, real quick, and I'm not going to exegete that whole passage, the rock he's referring to isn't Peter. He's talking about the truth that Jesus is the Son of God. So, that is the first time we see the word church in Scripture. And the word that's used there is ekklesia. That's the Greek word that Jesus uses for church, which literally would translate into a gathering. So what we do is church here on Sunday. But we also do church in many other ways. And as we go through, I'm going to prove to you that the church isn't a building or a place. It's us. So from this point on, Jesus takes the time to train his disciples, knowing soon he will be crucified and put to death for the debt of sin and rise again to give his disciples, them at the time and us now, everlasting life. So for about another 3 years, that's what Jesus is doing. He's walking through, training his disciples how to do this. So, once that happens, and my computer just froze. After this, Jesus gives his followers the power of the Holy Spirit. This is what we see in Acts 2. Acts chapter 1, we see the birth of the church. Like, we see the church come into fruition. Acts chapter 2, they get the Holy Spirit. And then the disciples really don't leave Jerusalem and the areas around Jerusalem for about another 40 years. Paul does. Like, Paul goes on a bunch of missionary journeys. But the disciples on a whole, they stay there in Jerusalem until about 70 AD when they have the great persecution from the Roman Empire. And when that happens, they're like, hey, we can't live here anymore. And they disperse. They go throughout the world. And that really, we see this explosion of missionary journeys at this point. Now, in this time and during this time, like I was saying, Paul, he goes around the known world from Jerusalem all the way to Rome, planting, for those who don't know, is starting a new church. And that's what he's doing as he goes throughout his missionary journeys. And these churches continue to flourish, and they eventually send out other missionaries who plant other churches. And eventually Cornelius becomes the first Gentile. So now that we see church isn't just a Jewish thing, now all of a sudden it's a worldwide thing because now Gentiles are coming into the church. And then about 300 years later, an emperor named Constantine makes Christianity the official religion of the Roman Empire. And this is huge. Because at this time, Rome went from England to India, from Africa to about Russia. So it was pretty much the entire world at that point in time. And he goes, hey, the official religion is going to be Christianity. We're going to follow Jesus. And then Christianity starts to spread north and west, starts going up into Ireland and Scotland and into all those areas. And then eventually it makes its way to the Quakers and the Puritans, who are going to come over here and establish a new world on this side of the ocean. And then in 1845, Florida became a state. And I know that sounds like, what? Why would you say that? But there's a point. There's a point I'm getting to here. Then 9 years ago, Pastor Dan set out to plant a new church right there in Stanford. And then today, we're meeting here in Lake Mary at the YMCA. So what I want to see is, this started 2,000 years ago, 2,000 miles away from us, and yet here we are, and we see that direct line, because we are the church. We are the ecclesia. We are a group of disciples who meet together, but why? Ephesians 4 says that we meet together so that we can learn how to know, live, and advance the gospel of Jesus. Now, it doesn't use those terms, but I'm going to show you where those terms come from. The church is not a place. It's not a building. We are the church. It is not an event or a day we go do something. It is the living bride of Christ. Ephesians 4 worded it, the body of Christ. It is the reason Jesus laid down his life, and it is also the tool that God uses that he designed for his work to be carried out here on earth. So, if we are the church, Mark, the very place we're going to start is, how do we teach how to know the gospel?
You know, I think there's many ways that we can do it now. Sunday services.
Yep.
Midweek Facebook Lives, which I absolutely love them. Gives an opportunity to get involved.
Yeah.
Really get plugged in. Because from Sunday to Wednesday or Thursday, a lot of junk happens. So it's a way to kind of get plugged back in and just be refreshed. City groups, listen to people around you. Also, I think one of the big things that we as Christians miss, and let me say this, I miss, is build friendships with people that you see that are living a gospel-centered life.
Yes.
And talk to them, learn from them. Because there's a lot, just in this room alone, there's a lot of knowledge, and there's some great people that are living the gospel and are just, I look up to. So that's one thing that I want to start doing is, because just preparing just to be here today just made you think, made me think about my whole walk.
Right. And I know we discussed that this morning. Like, for those who don't know, this is Mark's first time up here preaching. And I get it, like,
talking.
Stumbling through. But really, in all honesty, what we were talking about this morning was like how when you start going through and preparing, like to teach someone, one, that's a huge responsibility. But then you start seeing how all these things, all these different things that you never think about that are connected, are connected. How you can't divorce the idea of like salvation from sanctification. How you can't divorce the idea of knowing from doing. And when you are like really digging into scripture, it's a lot different than when you're just sitting there consuming what someone else is saying.
Because you have an intent to share.
Right.
As a lot of, so, you know, it brought to mind 2 Timothy 4:2. It says, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction.
Absolutely.
You know, and I think, yeah, you know, what made me think about is, you know, relationships that we have here. You know, you really know that you're building a relationship is when you can have a disagreement or a misunderstanding, but then you can talk to a person, talk to people, and get a resolve and still love them. And love them more because you've,
right,
you know, gone through that.
And that's why we use the terminology, the family. Like when you read throughout scripture, church is a family of Christ. We are part of the body of Christ. And relationship is a huge, huge thing when we think about church. Because this right here, this is one part of church. This is one thing we do. We all come together and think about like an extended family reunion. So like everyone in here represents individual families. But when we are together, we are representing only one family. And so like Sunday mornings, like when I come into church on Sundays, I'm coming in going, I'm going to a family reunion. Like I'm going to go be with my brothers and sisters. Because even like in your real, in your life outside of church, your adult life, because like JT has no choice. He has to talk to his sisters. Like, and he has to be nice to them. However, in your adult life, you don't usually live in the same house. I mean, I know some families do, but some family, most families don't. And sometimes you may go weeks or even months without really seeing your family, being around your family. Well, when you do come around, it's like you've never even missed a minute. Like, you're just like, hey, we're picking up right where we left off. Remember this joke? And then we start making jokes about The Office. Not The Office, but the TV show. You know, and that's one role here. That's what we do. Like, this is where we come to cast our vision as a family, to go, like, this is what we want to accomplish. This is where we come to be equipped. That's why Ephesians 4:11 starts out with, and he gave the apostles, the prophets, the teachers, the shepherds. Because we all have roles that we fit. And Paul is famous because if we go into like 1 Corinthians 12 with the whole body analogy, and a foot can't tell a hand that it's better, and all those, because they do different roles. But this is only one part. Like this is like the big family reunion. What about city group? And I know, like, if you're from different churches, they go by different names, but if it's a smaller, more intimate group that meets not here.
It's a more personal a way to meet, but also be able to talk about the intimate things that you're ready to share with people and into the body.
Right.
To get encouragement, help fight any battles that you've engaged in. Things like that.
So why is it important to belong to those? Like, why, if someone came up to you and went, Mark, should I join a city group? Like, what would you tell them? Like,
did I have a good day or a bad day?
Bad day. Let's go worst case scenario.
I think, again, it's a way, I would say absolutely yes. Number one, I think that we talked earlier, if you're saved, if you know that Christ is your Lord and Savior, you want to be part of something bigger than yourself.
Right.
And I think, but that means opening up. Opening up to the private things, because we're all good at everything is great. How was your week? It was fantastic. Great things happen. But we all know when we get home or inside, you're stewing about stuff.
Right.
And I think it's a way, city groups are a way to meet with a few people, open up and get people's thoughts, ideas, get prayed for, and just share life.
And the other thing I like too with Citigroups is it offers perspective. Because yes, there is only one truth. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Like when Paul writes a letter to like Ephesians, like he's writing to the church at Ephesus, Paul has one meaning behind it. There's one truth there. However, with that being said, there are different perspectives because things like in my life that I'm going to hold on to in my role as either a father or a pastor or just a man in general is going to be different than something Debbie is going to see as her role as a mother or as a wife or as a woman in general. And in Citigroup, that's when you really get that challenge. Like here, I'm going to challenge you guys. Like that is part of my role. Part of my role is to go, hey, here is what Scripture says. Now, I'm going to challenge you to live to Scripture. However, in this room, it's going to be a very general challenge. If you're in Citigroup, I'm going to be able to go to you and go, hey, look, I know what's going on in your life. Like, I know what you're dealing with. I know what you're going through. And I'm going to get that opportunity to specifically go, let's pray about this, or let's work through what does Scripture say about this, or let's rejoice. Hey, you just got a new job. That's awesome. Or, hey, let's just take time and fellowship and eat.
We do that very well.
I was going to say, I don't know if you can tell. I like to eat some food.
You know, I think if you...
I don't like weird food.
I think if you don't go to a Citigroup, you're missing out on something really...
Absolutely.
It's fantastic,
yes.
Really fantastic.
I agree. And the last thing we're going to talk about as far as knowing goes is, and I love the fact that you brought up the Facebook Live. Like, are you guys, like, really enjoying the Facebook Live? It's awesome, isn't it?
Yeah.
Like, okay, one person likes it. That yes.
You owe me $5.
It's part of the boost. Anyway, it gives us that midweek service, you know, and really, to me, one of the most amazing things is how much easier is it to share Facebook Live with your friends, your family, your neighbors, your coworkers, than it is to go, hey, will you come to church? And you know what? I'm gonna go ahead and tell you, it's everyone's job to evangelize. Like that's not just our roles as pastors. And this is the easiest way to do that, is to go, hey, look, Wednesday at 7, we're having a Facebook Live. Why don't you be a part of it? And it is a great way for people to, A, check out the church. Because I was reading the other day, on average, people view your church 14 times before they ever step foot in a church. Now, that's the problem with social media now. Because then they feel like they visited your church, even though they really haven't visited your church. Like they haven't been a part of it. They haven't, but that's the front door to the church now.
You know, I think there's what we do in regular life is we should be looking around our to the people that we work with, to the people that we know,
yep.
And listening to them because we're just watching them. Because some people could be having a difficult time in life, going through a situation, and we may just go ahead and share a word with them. But here's another way through Facebook Live to get them to a church type setting without actually going to a building,
right?
Is actually reach out, use what Facebook has, send a message to them. Hey, I was thinking about you and praying for you. Hey, our pastor is doing this tonight. I'll send you a link or send.
Absolutely.
You know, it's just it's an easy way to get the gospel shared, but also to plant something into their lives.
And I'm going to be honest, not that I would be up here lying, but so that's kind of a redundant statement. Anyway. If you really want to learn more about like Facebook and how to use it as a tool, and Mark didn't even know this was going to come up because I didn't know until just now, talk to Mark about it. Like we were talking Friday and just different ideas about like how to utilize social media and things of that nature. I'm a terrible millennial. I just got Facebook a couple of months ago.
You are.
I'm going to be honest. I don't use it. So like I would much rather be out fishing and enjoying life than glued to my phone, living my life through other people, so I don't use Facebook like that. Mark was like blowing my mind with some of the stuff you could do on Facebook. And all of that, and we stressed in, how do I read my Bible? We stressed in sanctification. We even stressed in, you know, what is a Christian, the importance of knowing Scripture. Like, I cannot, again, here we are talking about it again, I cannot express to you how important it is to know what your Bible says. If you're going to sit here and say, this is the Word of God, then you need to know what God is saying. Not a general idea, not something I heard from something else, but what does your Bible actually say? But moving on from knowing, again, looking at Ephesians 4, Paul says the reason Jesus gave the church, these people, the apostles, the teachers, the shepherds, is for the church to mature into full manhood, not to be like little children, tossed to and fro by waves, carried on every wind of false doctrine. Now again, you don't want to be carried away on false doctrine. You need to know what your Bible says, not just, oh, this preacher that I really like, he said this, because I'm going to tell you, like, Peter is going to talk very clearly about wolves in sheep clothing. People that look like, that sound like, that act like, but they are actually wolves to terrorize the church. Now, that is part of our roles as elders, is to guard you against that. But I'm going to tell you right now, you're probably not going to hear me or Pastor Dan up here talking about, hey, don't listen to this person, this person, this person. I don't think that's appropriate. So if you have questions, absolutely come look for us privately. Message us, text us, call us, email, send a smoke signal if you have to. Pastor Dan can read those.
You know, I think it's okay not to know.
Right.
But when it's time to share, it's okay to say, you know what, I don't know that. But don't rely on somebody else to tell you what it is.
Right.
Go seek it out.
Right.
Ask questions, but seek it out, understand it so you can share it with somebody else.
Absolutely. But living the gospel, living out the gospel, like, it is so easy to say, it is such another thing to do. Because if you really want to know how to stand up for what you believe and know why you believe what you believe, like, why do you believe Jesus is the Son of God? Why do you believe he rose from the dead? Why do you believe that you're a Christian? It is necessary to belong to a body that will challenge you to grow. Like, that's a necessity. Like, the Bible says believers are grown, pruned, persecuted, and so many more painful things. But it's important to remember, diamonds are made under pressure. Gold is refined in a fire. So these awesome, beautiful things that we treasure, they are made through adversity. In fact, what happens as people is we get comfortable in any situation. Like, we have a very high ability to adapt to our situation. And once we get into that lane where we're comfortable and we're not being challenged, you're not going to grow. There's no need for you to change. Therefore, you're not going to change.
No, what you do. And I think I get cut off in that,
right,
sometimes. You know, James 1:22 says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. I can get caught. I know I have get caught in a hearers only mentality.
Right.
Come to church. Yes, amen. Everything's great. And then.
So you're the one that actually yells amen? Because I know there's only one of us that, like, yells amen or claps. While I'm saying that, you guys know it's okay to do that, right? Like, we don't have to be full on, you know, crazy. We can clap in church. We can say amen.
Yes.
Like, it doesn't have to be dead silent all the time. Just saying. But if we're going to do it, because I noticed this morning during worship, like, if we're going to do it, we all need to do it. Because that half clap, half not clap, that's just weird. Like, so
should
we're going to do it. Everybody jump on board, okay? But if you want to get stronger, you go to a gym. Like, that's what you do. You're not going to get stronger just sitting at your house. You're not going to get stronger just reading fitness magazines. If you want to get stronger, you actually have to go to a gym. And before I get, like, the excuse, oh, well, I have a home gym, I guarantee you're not using it. Or if you are.
Yeah, for, you know.
Clothes. Sleep, you know.
To dry clothes, yeah, dry clothes.
To get away from the kids. Like, oh, I'm going to go work out. Like,
go before work inside.
Church is the same way. If you want to grow in knowledge of God, then you have to surround yourself with people who are stronger than you. Because if you're surrounding yourself with people who are weaker than you, you're going to drop down to their level. It's when you surround yourself with people that are stronger than you that you have to rise up to their level. And guess what happens when you get up there? Then you look for someone else. We should always be being discipled as well as discipling. Like, that should always be. You should always have someone ahead of you and pulling people up behind you. That's how the church grows. That's how we get bigger. That's how we get stronger. There, you surround yourself with people who will love you enough to push you to gain more. And it's a love thing. It's not a...
You know, I think everybody doesn't realize it, but God made us all leaders.
Right.
In some way, shape, or form. Some people are leaders to stand up in front of, speak in front of tens, fifties, thousands, hundreds, millions. But some people are leaders for just the people around them. And like what you said, you learn something, you do it, and you pull somebody with you. And you're being a leader.
You are. I mean, it's mountain climbing 101. Like, when I summited Everest.
Well, this is a great story.
It was online, first of all. It wasn't actually at the mountain. And really, it was just Google Earth, and I looked at the top of the mountain. Wow. So, but... y'all really thought I climbed the mountain? Come on, man. I live in Florida, where the highest thing is a landfill. But when you're climbing the mountain, you know, you see these lines of people going up the mountain. And that's because they have the ropes hooked to them. So if you do slip and fall, you have the strength of everybody that's ahead of you that is gripped in tight. So you're not falling, what is it, 29,000 whatever feet down to the bottom of the mountain. That's why God gave us this. Because then you have everyone's strength in here for when you do slip and fall. Because it's going to happen. When we get to a point where we go, that'll never happen to me, chances are it's about to happen to you. Yeah. So when we have that, we have people we can call and reach out to and go, hey, brother, I'm struggling with this. Can you help me? Or, hey, sister, I'm struggling. Can you help me? Can you help carry me through this time?
That's living the gospel.
I know. It really is. I don't know how it came to me. But... And just in case, because I know it seems like we do joke more up here, Jorge is in the back keeping an eye on that. Okay, so he is in charge. But, so living the gospel is taking all that information you have, all inside, like the podcast, because there we go, all that information you got all up in your brain, and giving you real practical information to do that. And if you guys, like, that's the point. It's to be able to sit down with each other and go, you know better. Do it this way. Or, hey, you know what? And let's stop condemning. Let's look at encouraging, too. Hey, you're doing a really good job with this. Keep up the good work. Because who doesn't like hearing, hey, I did something good? Like, who doesn't like hearing, hey, I'm proud of you? Like, I mean, everyone. And you know what? We do a bad job. Like, we're real quick to point out what we're doing wrong. We are not as quick to go, hey, Wayne, awesome set this, or Leandra, you led, right? Awesome set this morning. Like, why? You know, that's part of living the gospel. Jesus, yes, rebuked his disciples, but he also encouraged them. And if we're following that model, then that's what we need to be doing too.
Jesus, I tell this to Joshua all the time.
You know, not me.
my son, have an outward view. You know, the Christ did. You know, everybody can, just caring about others more than yourself.
Yeah.
Be that person that thinking it's okay to be second.
I mean, Matthew 20. Jesus himself says, the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, to give my life a ransom, you know, for many. Which really kind of pushes us into that last category that we're going to discuss today. So we talked about knowing the gospel, why it's important to know the gospel. We talked about living the gospel and why we should be doing that. And lastly, we're going to talk about advancing the gospel. You know, and Paul finishes this portion in Ephesians 4 by saying, when each part is working properly, it causes the entire body to grow. Now, I want to look at this because the way it's worded, it says something very specific there. When each part is working properly, that means when the worship team's working properly, when the host team's working properly, when kids' ministry's working properly, when the preaching is going properly, when AV is going properly, when the parking lot team is going properly, when all of these things are working properly together, it causes the entire body to grow. Not the entire body can grow when all these things happen properly. The entire body will grow, causes to grow. That means it's going to happen. Why? Because that's the natural progression of the gospel. So when we come together, when everything is working correctly, we have no choice but to grow. That's all that can happen. It's when things aren't working properly. And one thing I want to focus on right there is every single person in this room, every single person in this room is called to serve.
What?
Right.
No, I think it's important that to serve. I mean, you know, if your shoulder has to worry about your arm, like, oh, no, I got to carry this arm now because it's not doing anything, you know.
I just never thought about my shoulder carrying my arm. Good point. That's what I was talking about with perspective. Like,
yeah.
But no, keep going. Like, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, I think it's important to serve.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because,
yeah.
You know, like you said, if everything is working together, if the host team has to worry, and by no means am I saying anything, that the host team or the children's ministry, if the host team hypothetically has to worry about the children's ministry working properly, then the host team is being taken away from its importance and what it has to do to carry the children's ministry.
Right, and going back to 1 Corinthians 12, now you're forcing a foot to be a hand. And that happens, and sometimes we have to make do with what we have. Like, understand that. But part of our society is we are consumeristic. In other words, we like to take things in, we don't like to put things out. And we definitely don't like to put ourselves out. But it is every person's job, every part of the church, it is your job to serve. Now, how that looks for you and how that looks for anyone else may be totally different. Like, I'm not saying everyone has to work in kids ministry. I would love if everybody at the end of the service, though, could fill out a card saying you will work in kids ministry. However, that's not what he's saying. What he is saying, though, is everything needs to work together. And when it does work together, we grow. The one mission of the church, okay, because there are not multiple missions of the church. There is one mission. Whether it's overseas, whether it's here, whether it's anywhere, the one mission of the church is to grow. Not to show others that we have it all figured out and we are better, but to make much of Jesus. In Matthew 28, Jesus leaves the church with the Great Commission, which is the only commission and mission of the church. Now, we've already described and defined the church is us, not this building. It's us. So our only mission is to go, therefore, and make disciples of every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you till the end of the age. I mean, Jesus goes, hey, I'm with you. We're going to do this together, but you're going to go do this. And here we are, like we talked about in the beginning, 2,000 miles and 2,000 years apart from when Jesus said this. Why are we sitting here? Well, we're sitting here because at some point God laid on Pastor Dan's heart, hey, I want to plant a church. And I'm going to call this church Send. And it's gone through a lot of changes in 9 years. And there's been a lot of things that have happened. And there's been people that have come. There's been people that have left. But here is the church. Here we are. And people like Paul. Like, that's why we're here. People like Augustine. People like Pastor Dan. People like pastors your parents had growing up. People like your parents. People like you. Being committed to a local ecclesia. And that word committed has a lot of weight to it. Okay, let's not just sweep that under that means I go every week. Because that's not what that word means. That means I'm here to serve. I'm here to do. I am here. This is our church. It's Jesus' church. Jesus is the shepherd of the church, regardless of what church it is. But this is our church. And we have to take ownership of that. This isn't Pastor Dan's church. Like, when you came in this morning, your bulletin doesn't go, welcome to Dan Mastrapa's church. It's welcome to sin. And that's why our hashtag, like when we do Facebook Live, when we do anything on Facebook, is we are sin. We, collectively, are this church. And it's our responsibility to grow. It's our responsibility to go into full, mature manhood. It grew, it pushed you out, and it caused you to be here. Advancing the church, advancing the gospel of Jesus Christ is the only logical outcome of knowing the gospel and living the gospel. And if you don't know me that well, you can ask Debbie. Logic is my thing. I have that analytical step one, two, three mind. I read the directions when I put stuff together. Like, it goes step one. I don't actually read the directions. That's a lie. I look at the picture on the front of the box. But it still goes step one, two, three.
I can do that.
It looks something like the front of the box. I may have a couple of extra parts left over. But it is through the church we are taught as individuals how to live, how to know, and how to advance the gospel. However, this only works when we do not neglect to meet with one another, as is the habit of others. Hebrews 10. Like, Hebrews is saying, stop neglecting to meet with each other. Now, were they talking about on Sunday mornings? Nope. Because they didn't do church the way we do church. Hate to tell you that. In fact, Acts 2:42 says they met together daily. Every day. How many of y'all want to do that? And I know everyone in here is going to go, I'm too busy for that. I can't do that. Really? I just saw an app, and I have no idea what the name of it is. Maybe you can help me out with this, because that's your forte. Where you can video conference people. And it was like, oh, wow, that's awesome. Like, and it's not Skype. I know it wasn't that. But it's like that. But, like, we could meet every day. We could do that.
He said airtime.
Who?
Airtime.
Airtime. So let's all get that. Barry's heading it up. But the only way the church works is when every part is healthy and doing what it's supposed to do. Like I said, Romans 10:17 is very clear. How are they supposed to believe if there's no one there to preach? Now, that has a whole other sermon attached to it, so I'm not going to get into that right now. But basically what it's saying is every single person in here is called to serve in some capacity or another. And if you're sitting here now and you're going, you know what? I want to serve. I don't know where. Come see me. Reach out to Pastor Dan.
If you're doing nothing at 7:15 in the morning, feel free to come.
First of all, see, and here's where the problem comes in. It's not 7:15. It is 7.
Or 7:15.
No. All right, here's what happens when you come 15 minutes late. All of the heavy stuff is already done.
7:15.
Dang it.
But, you know, as far as the serving goes, listen, God doesn't need us.
No.
Honestly, he doesn't. But we get an opportunity to serve our King and his people
right.
When we do so. So I think.
And I like the way that you word that opportunity. Because that is what it is. You know, like you said, God could have chose to do this any way he wanted to. This is how he chose to do it. If God wanted to, he could have been like, oh, you're saved? You're going straight to heaven. He didn't choose to do that. He chose to do it this way. And we need to come along and go, okay, that's the mission of God. That's what we're going to do. But seriously, if you're sitting here going, hey, I want to serve. I don't know where. I don't know how. Pastor Dan, myself, Mark, Jorge, anyone that you know is a leader here at the church, like, go talk to them. You know, go, hey, look, I know I need to serve. I don't know where. Where do you guys need? Because that needs to be the question, not this is what I'm gifted with. Because I'll tell you right now, there's a lot of things that we may not be gifted at that we still need to do because it still needs to get done.
You also may have
I'm not gifted at lifting up heavy things.
But you do a good job at it. And thank you, Patrick.
Or you ask Jorge, I'm not gifted at figuring out which end of the wire needs to go where.
But as the church, also as the church grows, there's going to be areas that your gifting may come into play.
Yeah, yeah.
Once things are get set up even more, more fine-tuned, you may be really, really good at something that needs to be built.
And really to segue on that, because I like where you're going, it may not even be like what you would think when we think ministry. Because like, seriously, like standing up here preaching, I'm going to go ahead and tell y'all, it's pretty easy. Now, you know, if you're playing an instrument and that's what you're gifted with, it comes easy to you. But when we think of ministry, it's more than just, oh, I do children's church, or I preach, or I'm in the worship team. Like, what if your gifting is, hey, I'm great at organizing? I will tell you right now, that is awesome. Like, I can streamline. I can do data entry. Like, those aren't things that you necessarily think of when you think of ministry, but those are things that we need. Hey, I'm really good at video editing. I'm really good at audio. I'm really, like, again, these aren't things you think of when you think of church, but I'm like, those are things that happen behind the scenes. Like these slides. You know, someone has to sit down and make these slides. And it's not something, I know, me personally, I've never, like, until this morning, I never really went, oh, someone has to actually type all that stuff in? I thought it just came, like, done like that. Like, but, like, that's, someone has to do that. And that may be your gifting. You may be like, hey, I love computers. Awesome. Like, that can be used, too. And that's why 1 Corinthians 10:31 gets said so much. Whether we eat or drink, we do everything to glorify God. So your gifting may not be, hey, I want to get up in front of everybody and talk. That may not be your gifting. Your gifting may be, hey, I want to be behind the scenes, but I'm really good at organizing. I'm really good at, contacting, you know, other agencies and stuff to partner with. Like, we have the Back to School Bash coming up. And this year, we're going to partner with the YMCA, you know, which is going to be different than it was last year. But this is where we're at, and there's 2,500 people who come in here. So if we can bless some of those people with school supplies, that's what we need to be doing. We need to be showing love right here where we're at. So you may go, hey, I can come together. I can do that. I can, you know, reach out to the people I need to talk to. I can, you know, do whatever needs to be done. What if your gifting is, hey, I can build things? I'll tell you right now, like, Pastor Dan is, like, all over the place and creative going, hey, we need to do this and this and this and this, and we need to build this, and we need to build that, we need to build this. And yeah, I can, like, I know we do a lot, but I'm not a builder. I definitely am not a welder. We found that out the hard way. But when you think gifting, don't just think the visible stuff I see. There's a lot of stuff that happens behind the scenes that no one ever gets credit for. And we need help in those areas too. But
I was going to say, I think if you're saved, you should want to do something.
Absolutely.
It should just, that this the spirit that's inside of you will just be wanting to. You know, I look at Leandra's serving, and she gets great enjoyment by leading worship.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, you to sit back there and watch it, it's like her whole body is just crazy.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's clear. And she's found that one thing, but she's here helping in the morning.
Absolutely.
She's here, you know, doing other things.
With a smile.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we should just want to fill in the gaps where there's something missing in our local community.
Absolutely.
Local church.
You know, and like I said, like Paul said in Ephesians 4, when everything's working properly, it causes the entire body to grow. I mean, look at this face. Is this the face you want greeting everybody coming into your church?
Oh.
Yes.
No one raised their hand. And I get it. Because it hurts for my mouth to smile like this. But
that's why I wear sunglasses when I...
Right? So before we close, before we get all into that, Patrick, do we have questions? All right. Go ahead and put it up. So how do we describe our church to others? Non-denominational, interdenominational, or another way? It's a very good question. The question's always going to come up, hey, I go to St. Church, and it doesn't have any affiliation with, like, denominational churches. Now, denominational churches, for anyone who may not know, think Baptist, Assembly of God, Church of Christ, like these big denominations. Independence, you know, things of that nature. Right now, yes, St. Church is a non-denominational church. That being said, for those who may not know, The easiest way to describe it would be we believe in the Bible. We believe Jesus is the Son of God. We believe, like, you could go through all your different beliefs. I know me personally, when that question's come up, I go, you know, to give you an idea of, we most closely resemble a Baptist church. Now, that being said, that's still a very broad topic too. However, we are a non-denominational church, which means we don't follow any of the major denominations that you would find in churches. Does that make sense?
Even that's a denomination now.
It is. In fact, most churches are going to that to get away from stigmas, and it's a big long thing. And so if you wrote that question, if you need more to talk about that, I would love to talk to you, you know, after service. So, does anyone have any other questions? Because Mark said some confusing stuff.
I have some questions.
Go ahead.
The first thing I said?
All right, well, I mean, if there are no other questions, then, you know, we're just going to, I'm going to keep rambling on because that is a gift thing I have, and I have 6 more minutes to do that. You can check it out all you want to. I'm the one with the mic. No, seriously, in all honesty. The worship team is going to make their way back up here as we close, and I challenge you, just like at the end of all of our podcasts, I challenge you to look at your life and ask yourself, are you really committed to the local body of God? Are you really committed to the church that God has placed you in? Are you serving? Are you growing? Do you know? Are you knowing, living, and advancing the gospel? And if your answer to any of that is no, please don't leave today without coming up and talking. I would love to be able to talk more to you about it. Because when the body is working together and everything is going properly, it causes growth.